Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus said he'd make your enemies be your footstool. Can I get a witness in here tonight? So can I tell you something? When everything is against you, it seems like the odds are against you, and it counted you down for your way out of here. I want you to tell them this if you got Jesus. Tell them this.
Don't worry about me. I'll be alright.
Y'all want to know why?
Cause I've got the victory.
the Lord that already brought you through, in spite of your friend knocking you down. I want you to look at your neighbor, and I don't want no laugh and a plan. I don't want no laugh and a plan. I want you to get serious with God and yourself. And look at him dead in the eye with authority, no laugh, and shout out loud two or three things that the Lord has done for you. Come on. Shout it out loud. Shout it out loud. Shout it out loud. If you got the victory, shout it out loud. I feel the Holy Ghost coming in.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How everyone doing this morning? How you doing there, Reverend?
Good morning. Good morning, how you doing this morning?
I'm going pretty good, sir. A little chilly, but we here. We doing real good.
Praise the Lord.
Just the day we celebrate Martin Luther King Day today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God bless.
Mm-hmm. So we all blessed to see another week, another Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I'm at work right here on River here. I'm going to be on mute for just a second. Let's see here. Hold on. Reverend Heron, we'll do this for a try to get back to the show and play another song.
If not, and there was a day when many of the Israelites found themselves in bondage in Babylon. There was a king of Babylon by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. You read about him a good deal in the book of Daniel, and it stands as an epic that will remain stenciled on the mental sheets of unfolding generations. Nebuchadnezzar was a mighty king, and when he ruled, he ruled, and when he issued an order, he meant business. Nebuchadnezzar issued an order. He made a golden image, and his order was that everybody under the reign of his kingship had to bow before that golden image and worship it. Now, those of you who read the Bible remember that story. One day Nebuchadnezzar called in the judges and the governors and the sheriffs And they had a dedicatory service for this golden image. And then he said to them, I'm instructing you to see that everybody bows before this golden image. But there were three young men around there. One's name was Shadrach. The other one's name was Meshach. And the other name was Abednego. And they answered, and I read it from the scripture, and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now I want you to notice first here that these young men practiced civil disobedience. Civil disobedience is the refusal to abide by an order of the government or of the state or even of the court that your conscience tells you is unjust. Civil disobedience is based on a commitment to conscience. In other words, one who practices civil disobedience is obedient to what he considers a higher law. And then there comes a time when a moral man can obey a law which his conscience tells him is unjust. And I tell you this morning, my friends, that history has moved on. Great moments have often come forth because there were those individuals in every age and every generation who were willing to say, I will be obedient to a higher law. These men were saying, I must be disobedient to a king in order to be obedient to the king. And those people who so often criticize those of us who come to those moments when we must practice civil disobedience never remember that even right here in America, in order to get free from the oppression and the colonialism of the British Empire, our nation practiced civil disobedience. For what represented civil disobedience more than the Boston Tea Party? Never forget that everything that Hitler did in Germany was legal. It was legal to do everything that Hitler did to the Jews. It was a law in Germany that Hitler issued himself that it was wrong and illegal to aid and comfort a Jew in Hitler's Germany. But I tell you, if I had lived in Hitler's Germany with my attitude I would have openly broken that law.
Make it plain.
I would have practiced civil disobedience. And so it is important to see that there are times when a man-made law is out of harmony with the moral law of the universe. There are times when human laws are out of harmony with eternal and divine laws. And when that happens, you have an obligation to break it. And I'm happy that in breaking it, I have some good company.
Yes.
I have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I have Jesus and Socrates.
Make it plain.
And I have all of the early Christians who refused to bow. Now the second interesting point is that these men never doubted God and his power as they did what they did. They made it very clear that they knew that God had the power to spare them. They said that to the king. Now, we know that the God that we worship is able to deliver us. And that grew out of their experience. They had known God. They had experienced God in nature. They knew God as the creator. And then they had seen God in history.
Yes. Make it plain.
And then they had seen God, I'm sure, in their personal lives.
Yes. Amen.
They never doubted God's power to deliver them. But let me move now to the basic point of the message. No, this morning, if we forget everything I said, I hope you won't forget this.
Amen.
It came to the point after saying our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if he doesn't deliver us, we still are not going to bow.
Amen.
But if not, do you get that? And these men were saying that our faith is so deep and that we've found something so dear and so precious that nothing can turn us away from it. Our God is able to deliver us, but if not, this simply means, my friends, that the ultimate test of one's faith is his ability to say, but if not. You see, there is what you may call an if faith. And there is a though faith. And the permanent faith, the lasting, the powerful faith, is the though faith. Now, the if faith says, if all goes well, if life is hopeful, prosperous, and happy, if I don't have to go to jail, if I don't have to face the agonies and burdens of life, if I'm not ever called bad names because of taking a stand that I feel that I must take, if none of these things happen, then I'll have faith in God. Then I'll be all right. That's the if faith. You know, a lot of people have the if faith. Jacob found himself in that dilemma once, and his faith was contingent on an if. And he said, now, if God will be with me, and if he will keep me in this way that I go, and if God will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. That's the if faith. Jacob hadn't quite gotten to the essence of religion. There is a though faith, though. And the though faith says, though things go wrong,
yes, sir.
Though evil is temporarily triumphant,
yes, sir.
Though sickness comes and the cross looms, nevertheless, I'm going to believe anyway, and I'm going to have faith anyway. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And old Job got to that point, and he had a though faith. He looked out, and everything that he had been taken away from him. And even his wife said to him, now, what you ought to do, Brother Job, is to curse God and die.
Yes.
God has been unkind to you. And you should have let God know a long time ago that you would only follow him if he allowed you to stay rich.
Yes. Make it plain.
If he allowed your cattle to stay in place, you ought to curse him and die. Job, because he hadn't treated you right. But Job said, honey, I'm sorry, but my faith is deeper than that.
Yes.
Though he slay me,
yes,
yet will I trust him. My faith is a though faith.
Yes.
And this is the essence of life and religion. The question is whether you have an if faith,
yes,
or whether you have a though faith. You know what this says in substance, that ultimately religion is not a bargaining matter.
Yes.
A lot of people bargain with God.
Amen.
If you just let me avoid pain, God, if you allow me to be happy in all of its dimensions, if you don't allow any suffering to come, if you don't allow frustrating moments to come, then I'll be all right. I'll give you a tenth of my income, and I'll go to church, and I'll have faith in you. But religion is not a bargaining experience. It's not a commercial relationship. And you know, no great experience exists in the bargaining atmosphere. Think of friendship. Think of love. And think of marriage. These things are not based on if. They are based on though. These great experiences are not based on a bargaining relationship, not an if faith, but a though faith. And I'm coming to my conclusion now. And I want to say to you this morning, my friends, that somewhere along the way, you should discover something that's so dear, so precious to you, that is so eternally worthful that you will never give it up. You ought to discover some principle.
Yes, sir.
You ought to have some great faith that grips you so much,
yes,
that you will never give it up.
Never.
Somehow you go on and say, I know that the God that I worship is able to deliver me. Yes. But if not, I'm going on anyhow. I'm going to stand up for it anyway. What does this mean? It means in the final analysis, you do right not to avoid hell.
Yes.
If you're doing right merely to keep from going to something that traditional theology has called hell, then you are doing right.
Yes.
If you do right merely to go to a condition that theologians have called heaven, you are doing right.
Yes.
If you are doing right to avoid pain and to achieve happiness and pleasure, then you are doing right.
My.
Ultimately, you must do right because it's right to do right.
Yes.
You've got to say, but if not.
My.
You must love ultimately because it's lovely to love.
Amen.
You must be just because it's right to be just.
Yes.
You must be honest because it's right to be honest. This is what this text is saying more than anything else. And finally, you must do it.
Yes.
Because it has gripped you so much that you are willing to die for it if necessary.
Yes.
And I say to you this morning that if you have never found something so dear and so precious to you that you will die for it, then you aren't fit to live.
Make it plain. Make it plain.
You may be 38 years old as I happen to be. And one day some great opportunity stands before you and calls upon you to stand up for some great principle, some great issue,
yes,
some great cause. And you refuse to do it because you are afraid. You refuse to do it because you want to live longer. You are afraid that you will lose your job, or you are afraid that you will be criticized, or that you will lose your popularity. Are you afraid that somebody will stab you or shoot at you or bomb your house?
Yes.
And so you refuse to take the stand. Well, you may go on and live until you are 90. But you are just as dead at 38 as you would be at 90. And the cessation of breathing in your life is but the belated announcement of an earlier death of the spirit. You died when you refused to stand up for right. You died when you refused to stand up for truth. You died when you refused to stand up for justice.
Yes.
These boys,
yes, sir,
stand before us today.
Yes.
And I thank God for them. For they had found something. The fiery furnace couldn't stop them from believing it.
Amen.
They said, throw us into the fiery furnace.
Yes, sir.
But you know, the interesting thing is, the Bible talks about a miracle. Because they had faith enough to say, but if not, God was with them as an eternal companion. And this is what I want to say finally. That there is a reward if you do right for righteousness' sake.
Amen.
It says that somehow that burning fiery furnace was transformed into an air-conditioned living room. Somebody looked in there and said, we put three in here, but now we see four.
Yes.
Don't ever think you're by yourself.
Awesome.
Go on to jail if necessary, but you never go alone.
Amen.
Take a stand for that which is right. The world may misunderstand you and criticize you, but you never go alone, for somewhere I read that one with God is a majority. Amen. And God has a way of transforming a minority into a majority. Walk with him this morning and believe in him and do what is right. Amen. And he'll be with you even until the consummation of the ages. Yes, I've seen the lightning flash. Yes, I've heard the thunder roll. I felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul, but I heard the voice of Jesus saying, still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Where are you going this morning, my friends? Tell the world that you're going with truth. You're going with justice. You're going with goodness. And you will have an eternal companionship. And the world will look at you. And they will understand you. For your fiery furnace will be around you. But you go on anyhow. But if not, I will not bow. God grant that we will never bow before the gods of evil.
morning, good morning, good morning. Happy birthday, Martin Luther King. You know, when you hear that song, my brothers and sisters, when you hear that song, he was singing when it wasn't a day like this, that we celebrate this day like we did. They made it out of a national holiday. Now, you know, I thank God for what the brother went through, because he spoke right then. Martin Luther King spoke a word. You know what I'm saying? Man won't die for something. He'll fall for anything. You got to stand on some principles. That's what he did, you know, for you and I. Some of us know what I'm talking about. I thank him for his labor in the vineyard. You know, he wasn't the only one, but he's the one that stood out, you know. You can see at that time he was a good speaker, you know. And he's the one that encouraged the people to get on board, you know. A lot of people have God in them. Help me, Holy Spirit. But a lot of people need to be stirred up, you know, need to be stirred up to do God's will, not their will. We didn't got so much. This is how me. This don't work for nobody. I'm just saying, this is me. This is what's coming from me. There's only nobody on this ministry. It just me. We have got so that we want to lift up man. If I don't hear a certain person, if I don't hear a person sing, or if somebody ain't certain doing this here, man, if Jesus ain't, it's not being lifted up. You know, I've been taught, man, you can go to the backwoods and get somebody can't even read, and would tear the church down. And, you know, he can't even pronounce some of the words he read, but he get up there and come from his heart what God gave to him. You know, by the time they couldn't even read, my sister and brother, and they have church now. You got to have all these accolades, you know, because every time he made a statement, he said some of the theologians said, you know, because study tells him that people say if you believe in hell, you know, because so, the theologians said it is a hell. And then he said, theologians said it is a heaven, you know, so when that's what we are today, you know, it's we believe in the book. We believe in the 66. Well, I'm going to tell you, I believe in the 66. I truly believe that anyone walking with God has to believe his Bible. You cannot say that you're walking with Jesus Christ, believe in the death, burial, resurrection, and don't believe in his word. Because when you look at the word, it's like a two-edged sword. It cuts you going in. It cuts you coming out. I don't care if you're giving or receiving. You're going to feel the Holy Spirit talking to you, telling you, guiding you. And we got to get out of the days of being lifted up. You know, only body should be lifted up is our Father, which are in heaven. You know, and I'm going to tell you like this here. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. I believe that. I believe when Martin Luther King said that they're going to go through some fires. Brother D said something a while back. Brother D said, he said, and we all believe that, because we all probably said it on our own way. But he said, you got to be reminded of these things sometimes, that when you look at your life, you can praise God when you got your car paid off, or paying your bills, got a job, your kids doing all right, your wife doing all right, your husband doing all right. But what can you praise God when you're going through things? Can you lift up? I don't feel like being on the ministry this morning. I'm hurting, you know. This is going on, you know. We have pity party. And God said, just like he did it to Job, and Job's wife came to him and said, she told him, you ought to go and curse God. And when he looked at that woman asking God a question about why he going wrong, he said, why can't we receive the good, and when the bad comes, we turn our back? You know, and I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people turn their back on God because they want to get along to get along. Don't turn your back on God because you got friends that ain't walking like you walking. They still could be your friend because you could be a witness to them. You know what I'm saying? Because all of us been there. All of us been there. Somebody had to help us. But Martin Luther King would tell us that you don't bow down. Don't bow down. You know what I'm talking about? If it had to put you into fire, a physical fire, it is a great reward being absent from this body. Because if you went in there because of Jesus, oh, help me, Holy Spirit, that means you have him in your heart. That you might not never get a physical fire, but you might be in some situation that you're all alone. This you? Well, he said, with you and God, that's enough. That's what he said. With you and God, this one and you and God, that's enough.
That means if God be for me, oh, help me, Holy Spirit, he'd be more in the world against me. Not to hold you too long, because I know the brother priest is hard out, but I want you to know that you might come over here sometime, and you might hear a sermon. And in this sermon, it might not be who you listen to right now. It might not be Brother Randy. It might not be Brother D. It might not be Reverend Henry. It might not be Brother Nothing. We want to extend this thing a little bit because we want to let you know that the ministry got to go on. You know what I'm talking about? And we want to make sure that you get fed. You know what I'm talking about? We want to make sure that you start the day off right. You know what I'm talking about? And we want to make sure that it ain't us in the way, because we want the word to go out. I love how the church I attend, you know, some of my brother, Reverend Randy, I love you. Why?
When I first went
to the church, right? I went to the church. They, I went, you know, most men, I don't know how you do when you're looking for a church now. I was looking for a church because I was wounded. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was so wounded. You know, I had just got out of the, you know, I don't do like everybody. I just got out of the penitentiary, right? I ain't giving no college. I got out of the penitentiary, you know. So it's what it was to me. It was balls, and you eat when they tell you to eat, go work when they tell you work, and can't talk on the phone, can't look at that. All. I was in penitentiary, man. So I ain't with no college. They come. I ain't saying, you know what? It made a better person out of me. But watch this here, Rand.
Oh,
yeah. So I was... Hey, Rand, I got out, right? I got out, you know what I'm talking about? You know, and I see it right now. I mean, guys are being more serious in the penitentiary, right? And how they feel about being with God, you know what I'm talking about? How they feel about where, and I do know some guys come out, they be jail, have religion, they leave the Bible, sit on the bed, and they live. I know that. So when you come out, you being stereotyped that as soon as he'll go back, Brother Eric going to go back. He going back. He going to do the same thing he just left from doing, Brother Randy. That's what they say, right? Yeah. No, Randy, it's 22 years later, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's 22 years later, man. Yes, sir. And I'm trying to still hold on to the blood set of matter, man. But let me tell you something, Brother Randy. I go to the church. My wife, she was already attending this church, right? I go to that church. I said, man, we got to get this thing right, you know. We got to get it. I'm talking about we come up from the streets. You know what I'm talking about? That's about right or not. You know, we come from the streets. You know what I'm talking about?
Man, yeah.
Right? We're in the church. You know, I know that look crazy on a lot of folks, man. They in the church. So we're in the church, man. I goes in the church, Brother Randy. Brother Randy, I get in the church. I'm back there, my wife. I'm institutionalized for the fullest. You know what I'm talking about? I spent some years in there, right? I'm institutionalized, right? So, these people don't know me from Adam E. He said, come on front. We want you to sit up. Man, sit up in front. So I said, man, what this guy got me going on? Man, that 2%. You know, I'm already feeling like, you know, when the warden coming in and the turnkey coming in, going to tell me I need to sit down, you know. So I get up there, you know, and Brother Randy, you won't read today. I said, man, what's wrong with these folks, man? So it's a little church, you know what I'm talking about? Little church. They ain't no storefront, right? But it's a little church, right? So I get up there. These people don't know if I can read or pray or nothing. You know what I'm talking about? I get up there and God gave me a word, of, because all the years I've been studying and reading, but never thought it was going to be in this setting like this. And I saw a lot of things, man. I saw women, men in church not married, preachers sleeping with the women, you know, and I mean, children. I mean, it was just chaotic, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Said, man, look what I tapped myself into. You see what I'm saying? In my family. I had a young family when I walked in there, right? Still young. All of them was in school still, you know? and I'm like, man, what is that? I got to do something, you know what I'm talking about? And God blessed me with my little calling, you know what I'm talking about? It was like 4 years later, he left me my little calling, put me in the pool of pit, and, you know, the man told me, he said, you won't preach. I cannot be transferred. He said, you won't preach in 3 years here. That's what he told me. I didn't ask that man to me. I wasn't asked about being no preacher, you know, on the mic. You know what I'm talking about? I wasn't asking for the mic. That's what I'm saying. So he allowed me to help him in devotion. And then the women started getting their calls. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And I sit there, you know, now that got me, you know what I'm talking about? I'm sitting there reading the Bible, and I know the Bible's right, you know what I'm talking about? I know the Bible's right. So I get challenged because I don't believe in women preaching. You know what I'm talking about? And
yeah.
They said, whoever, we have a meeting, a minister meeting. They said, whoever don't believe in women preaching, you know, we need to bring this out right now. And I said, I don't believe. I'm just going with the Bible said.
Yeah.
You make it right to me and tell me what the Bible. You make this right. So we went through the scripture. Well, that don't mean what that. Well, that's at that time. So you trying to tell me what happened then don't work now. And he said, but that's what happened now. Now women can they smart. They can talk. They educated. I said, okay, that's good. I said, I'm sitting there. I'm praying. You know what I'm talking about. So one day he told me, Brother Randy. I know y'all probably never heard the long story, but he told me, Randy. He said, you ain't gonna do nothing today. You just gonna sit up here and the women's gonna do all, everything. I said, oh yeah. I said, yeah. I thought slavery was over with, but anyway, say, Randy, you know what I did, Brother Randy? Brother Randy, you know what I did? I sit there. They were doing their little votes. They were hollering and shouting. The dressing was going everywhere. No, out of place, man. You know what I'm saying? Strictly out of place. You know what I'm talking about? And I walked right out the pulpit at 11 o'clock hour. Everybody just looking at me. I told my family, let's go. And I left from that church. And went to the church I've been at right now for 18 years. You know what I'm saying? Right there, I had to get somewhere where I needed a pastor and a first lady is married and want to counsel me and my wife, you know what I'm talking about, and my children, man. I had young children, man, to get us going over it and they showed me some things and made me a better husband. Made me a better a man of God. Made me a better a friend. You know what I'm talking about? Even to my wife. He counseled me, you know, when I say counseling, through the pulpit. Help me, Holy Spirit. And teaching me how to be a better man. You know what I'm saying? And I started thinking about it. He said, why are you over here? Why I say that this year? The church have changed. And God is getting closer because we are serving people stealing and not God's. We want to. Want everybody else's feelings to be good, but not God. We want everybody to be all right, but not God. When it comes down to God's word, we shouldn't be compromising with God. we shouldn't be here trying to please somebody's feelings, and God is going to make us accountable for what we do. Why are you talking so hard? Why are you talking this way? Why are you saying this? Because we are living in the last days. Evil is good now. And good is evil. When you raise up a question talking about what I just said, people hang up the phone. People don't want to hear that. Man, she sounds so good. Oh, man, dude, how long has she tickling? Man, that don't mean nothing. They out of order. The Bible ain't changed. People change. Ain't nothing changed about that, man. The people
hey,
change.
Hey, Red.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, God never miss, and he never failed on God's plan. Mm-hmm. He always in the midst. Mm-hmm. I was reading over in 2 Timothy this morning. I was reading over in 2 Timothy this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Everything you just hit on is what Paul was putting into Timothy. Oh, help me.
Yes, sir.
Timothy was Paul's spiritual son. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit, with this
breath.
He was putting it into Timothy as we celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday. Martin Luther King was trying to put it in the people as Paul was putting it into Timothy at this time.
That's
Paul
it.
Said,
That's it.
He's down to his last drop in his cup. He's fought a good fight. He's read the race.
I'm looking at your book. I'm looking at you.
Lord, have mercy.
I'm looking at you.
God, my God. You came on and you hit on all cylinders this morning with it, Rev. With how you got the call and that, you know, they told you to get up and speak the word. And then, you know, things transpired and you grew when you moved off. But who to say? Help me, Holy Spirit. You, on your journey, you weren't going to leave some folks behind. Or you weren't going to get some enemies. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. Or you weren't going to have people that ain't going to block you along the way for doing God's work and doing God's work, man. My God.
Now, Brother Randy, I must add this here. This is, you can call it a disclaimer all you want to, but I must add this here. Now watch me, ladies. Now watch me. I'm not a male soldier. I just speak the Bible. You know what I'm talking about? I really believe the Bible is right. You know what I'm talking about? I really believe that. And I want to say why I said it. The reason why the women are doing what they're doing because the mans ain't doing what they're doing.
Yes,
you know, that's why. That's why when you go in the church, you see more women in the church because we out here either some of us working or we just ain't none on our priority. You know what I'm talking about?
They say, man,
that's why they
church.
Are taking control. Just
they say, man,
don't
go to church.
That's it.
They say, man, don't go to church.
That's why they doing what they're doing. And that's why I said I'm not really – I understand the situation, and I know I'm not God. God can do anything. I'm just going off of scripture, man. I don't go off of feelings, man. You know, that's what Martin Luther King said. What you going to stand for? You know what I'm talking about? If it ain't but just you. He gave me some of that one thing. You know, I stay with me because sometimes you might have to walk alone. Brother Randy, when you do something like this here, man, sometimes you got to go alone.
Oh, yeah.
When you stand on
something
that don't line up with everybody's feelings, you know what I'm talking about? You might have to walk alone. And that's why it's just you and the terror. Let me tell you something. No, that's a lie. Because I really believe there are some people believe in the word. I really believe that people believe in the word. Reason why the church, some of the churches are doing what they're doing now, and I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of sisters can speak well and eloquent. Trust me, I heard a few of them. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not. That don't make it awesome. You can have an electrical, what they call outlet. Is that right? You know, you plug things in. You can put a dryer in there. You can put a microwave in there. You can plug up an ice box. Is that going right? And it gets the same current. You know, the current goes through it, right? But what that microwave is, that's what the microwave going to be. You know what I'm talking about? The microwave can't be no icebox, man. You know what I'm talking about? You plug that microwave in there and think you're going to put a cold drink in and get some cold water. Brother, you're in bad shape. You know what I'm talking about? So if you go into that circuit and you putting that energy out of that circuit, you are going to be what you are, what God designed you to be. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm going to do this because you put us over here, Brother Randy. You put us way over here. Can we look at that with Timmy to say it? Can we go over there when Paul was talking to your pastor?
Come on, brother.
Can we go over there? You know, I don't know why I'm over here, but y'all pray for me because let me get my word right now. I think it's 2 Timothy. Is it 2 Timothy and 3?
2 Timothy, chapter 4. Chapter 4. Chapter 4.
Chapter 4?
Yes, Lord.
Chapter 4?
Yes, Lord.
But I'm looking for so much, brother man. I'm looking when Paul was giving him some orders, you know what I'm talking about? I think it's 1 and 3, if I'm not mistaken. If y'all don't mind.
Yeah.
I'm looking for, he was giving him some orders. I'm in my book, y'all, you know. Y'all still with me? Y'all ain't left me, Harris.
We with you.
Y'all know it's there.
So a lot of folks believe that when God was speaking to Paul to Timothy, he was getting them ready, like Brother Randy said, to lead the church.
Yeah, for the ministry.
Yeah. Is that right, man? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And as he was leading the church, he had to give him some foundation. He knew things going to come up, Brother Randy and Reverend Henry.
Oh, yeah.
He knew things he was going to follow and do this. So he said right here, this is what he said right here. He said, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Now, I stop there, man. I'm gonna stop right there for a minute. It don't mean because they got same-sex marriage now. It means what it means then. And then God created male and female. And he said that a man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And it comes
wife,
so when, don't get it misunderstood. When he said wife, he ain't talking about 2022 wife. You know what I'm talking about? He's talking about a female. You know what I'm talking about? A female. I don't know why we over. Y'all can hang me up when I do this. Let me do this again. The bishop then must be blameless of his. Look what it said. The husband of one wife.
Temperate,
sober minded, good behavior, good given to hospitality. Here we go, y'all. And apt to teach. Help me, Holy Spirit. Now, it's some criteria to be in here now. A lot of sisters got this. A lot of sisters can teach. A lot of sisters got the app. They can do these things, you know. But the Bible said, what he was telling Timothy, Paul was telling Timothy how the church should be ran. It should be a man and a wife, right? Not no co-pastor either. It just, he called him, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. He didn't call her and him, you know. He called him, amen. So he lead, you know what I'm talking about? You know, it ain't, look at this here, man, so you can make sure. That, he said not to give it to wine. That's what he said, not to give to wine. That's what he said, right? No violence, no greed, and filthy lucre. Be patient, not a brawl, and not a converse. Look what he said. Look at what he said. One that well, rule well his own house, and land his children, and subjective of the gravity. That's what he said, right? And I'm going to back up. He wants us, if we walking with the Lord, and we said we some kind of preacher or somebody, we lead a flock, we got to use the principle of God, not us. Yeah, you can go get taught how to put a sermon together. You can go talk what the Greek word means, and that's pretty good. But don't let that fool you. You're going to have the Holy Ghost to stand and do this one there. You're going to have the Holy Spirit to help you to be able to give God his word. Yeah, you need to be a student of the word. You need to be a disciple of discipleship and of the word. But also, you got to have the Holy Spirit to have the discernment, have to give the word. Now, this might not work everywhere else. That's why we believe, Brother Randy, I'm going to get out of here. It's a church for everybody. There's a church for everybody. This might not be your church. You might need to get where you feel pretty comfortable at. You can do what you want to and live how you want to. You understand me? But God has some order in the church. If I can bag up, I'm going to lead this along. Wow, I'm way over here. I'm just going to lead this along. He said in 2:10, can I read this here? But which become a woman professes godliness with a good word. He said, let the woman learn in silence and all subjection. I know this ain't going to work. He said, you can't do this in church. He said, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. He said, but I permit not a woman to teach. That's what he said now, Brother Man. Is that by myself? Okay, I'm good. He said, no usher authority over the man, but to be in silence.
Oh, yeah, in silence.
Let me do it again. Because I'm going to make sure this is my book. Randy, I want you to come behind me when I read these scriptures. Yeah? I'm going to read this scripture. I want you to come make sure I got a different thing here. He said, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I permit not a woman to teach, nor to usher authority over the man, but to be in silence. Look what he said right here. He said, for Adam was first born, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was. Oh, help me. Being deceived was within transgression. Let me do it again. Adam was not deceived, but the woman. That's what he said, right? Being deceived was in transgression. And then look what he said, notwithstanding she shall be saved. Here we go, y'all. In childbirth, if they continue in faith and love, that's what we had, y'all, in holiness with sober. Now, I want to back up to say this here. He said it, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And ain't nothing changed with that. Only way he said it would change, Reverend Henry, if God takes the pain away from that woman and childbirth. Until he do that, they can have, what they call it, when they cut the stomach and the baby come out, what they call it, C-section. She still got pain. You know what I'm talking about? Because my baby had him, you know what I'm talking about? My baby, when she had her kid, you know what I'm talking about? So she still can have pain. You see what I'm saying? They can move all the intestines my way and still have a little pain. You hear what I'm saying? God has not changed on what he said about that. Man changed. But you don't have to believe in the doctrine. You don't have to believe with how we try to convey it. But I want to ask Brother Randy if he can pray that. Not sin. You hear me what I said? That why the church is ran today is why it ran. It's not saying that God's word has changed. It's because we're not doing our job, men. We're not standing up. We want to please somebody because they sound pretty good. Come on, brother. How's your Bible read?
The way you was at 1 Timothy
2:11. 2:11 through 15. I bagged up. 11. I went from 3. I bagged up and got the mute. Yeah.
Yeah. Or if I read like this, New International Version of the Bible. It says the woman should learn in quietness and in full submission. Mm-hmm. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man.
Okay.
She must be quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbirth. If they continue in faith, love, openness, and prosperity.
And
whatever.
And, Brother Randy, I don't know what we got way over here, but I think why it went that way, because I heard something what that brother said a while ago about them people in the fiery fires. This is a fiery statement when you said what the, what the woman supposed to be. Because if you look at today's churches, brother, they there. They running. They doing it. You know what I'm talking about? They bishops. They doing it. They evangelists. They doing it, brother. You know what I'm talking about? But that don't make it right, brother. They don't make it right. I learned something, though, Reverend. You know, I'm not going to get you out of there, but what I've learned something myself, though, that if God said let the wheat and tares grow together, I understand that. I understand that. That when you allow God to separate them in the end, I'm not saying these women are going to hell. I'm not saying that. Don't give me, because I don't have a hell in heaven now, one of them. Heaven, all I'm doing is telling you is proper what we call teaching and preaching. It doesn't, because they got to defend this. They can't go to this scripture and go from word to word and say this is what it said. They got to defend it the way they end. Oh, I know I'm right about it. Yeah, you can sound good all you want to. That don't make that sound your calling, sister.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? That ain't a calling. That is because you got a zeal. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. You have a zeal of enthusiasm to express God's love. You understand? And I'm telling you, he didn't say you couldn't probably do it, but not over man. That's what he said. Now, I just read that, didn't I? Brother Rand just read that. Over man. I know. I know. The three Hebrew boys, and anybody that stand on God's word and don't be wavy and be scary, you know, dumb, you know, dumb, I really just be scary, you know. Scary. I still believe in the Bible. He said it's gonna be a great falling away, Brother Randy. I got a thing my wife gave me, and it's not in the King James Version. What gotta read, Brother Randy? Look what it reads, right? It's Hebrews 4:12, Hebrews. Somebody know it already, don't they? Hebrews 4:12. My wife again. I got to look what it says. It's not in the King James, but it kind of sounds pretty good, Brother Rand. 4:12, Hebrews. It says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful." That's what it says, Randy. Go get that, Randy. Hebrews 4:12. You might read the same. It said, "The word of God, Reverend Henry, is alive." And powerful.
Oh, yeah.
It is sharper than a two-edged sword. Look what it says. This is what it says. It exposes our innermost thoughts and our desires. This is what she gave me, right? It broke it down a little bit more than the King James. Let me read it one more time. The word of God is alive and powerful, and it is sharper than a two-edged sword. It exposed our innermost in our desire. Oh, I love that there. You know what I love about that, Reverend? The Word of God, the Holy Spirit, is not like a lot of people think. Holy Spirit, it is more than sweating and chills and taking running off in the church and speaking in tongues. That Holy Spirit, it guides you, it comforts you, it tells you and guides you in this Christian walk. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. it builds you when you're torn down. It helps you when you want to help somebody, and it keeps you on line where God wanted to be said. So I say this, Brother Rand. How yours read, Brother Rand? read it. Hebrews 4 and 12.
Hebrews 4 and 12, same way. Really, it says,
yeah.
For the word of God is alive and active.
Uh-huh.
It's sharper than the double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing spirit and soul.
Come on, man.
It says it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart.
Come on, man.
Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered
on,
and laid before the eyes of him whom we must give account.
Jesus. I'm going to say this here. You know, I told you, you know, we're going to pray, man. You know, we're going to ask for everybody for prayer. You know, I mean, if you need prayer, we here to pray with you and for you. And we want to always stand that out. And if it's something was said and misunderstood, we'll try our best to go over it again. If you don't like it from who you're getting it from, you can send us a note by some or say something out public. We want to make sure you don't leave with a misunderstanding. You know, even the preach word we went through a while ago, we just ask you to let the Holy Spirit teach you. You know, we ask you to ask God for your help. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, not unto Eric. He's a workman should not be ashamed, but rightly divide the word in truth. That's what we are today. Study. When you're reading something and you want some understanding, read out two or three different versions of the Bible. And see, can you get some understanding? You know, that can help you some. Get a commentary. Look in there and see what it's saying, you know, how it's speaking to you. And pray about it, you know what I'm talking about. And ask God to help you in it. And get you a dictionary if you don't understand the word. Get you a Bible dictionary, you know what I'm talking about. Something going, you know, someone prayerfully did when they wrote it out, it was from God too as well. We ask you always in your study, keep God in it. Keep God in you. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to put a disclaimer on this one here. I'm going to do this here. And you know what? And I'm going to say this here. For Eric's sake, I'm not a scholar by far. I might have missed what I just said. There's people way smarter than me. But I just stay with the context of the scripture. You know what I'm talking about? I leave the theologians to the, you know, they can do all that, you know. I just want to let you know what the word says. From what my perspective, what God gave to me, it might not work for nobody on this phone, but I believe the Bible is right. I believe the Bible is right. Now, if it was something, say it again. Like I said, if we need to explain it again, we'll try our best. If it be God's will, you know, if you want to hit the one button, expound on what we have went over, Brother Man, Reverend, you know, if y'all got something y'all want to bring to the table, you know, it's always open, man, you know. I love the message Dr. King brought, you know, talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that message, man. And it inspired me because we're going to be in some situation. Man, I believe if you carrying the message and it's all easy every time, I believe that word is watered down, man. You know what I'm talking about? Because when you start speaking to somebody's heart, when you start speaking to somebody's spiritual man, brother, you might tap in some evil spirits. You know what I'm talking about? And them evil spirits, now I'm going to say something. Now, y'all don't get scared when I say this. Don't be afraid. Them spirits talk. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. They'll talk out that person's mind and say, why did you care? He don't care. Why do you care? She don't care. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. And you be looking at them, you can see it. I seen people eyes rolling in the head. I seen black smoke come out of people's mouth, man. And help me, Holy Spirit. Then deliver.
Yeah.
I seen God change someone after them, and they've been walking straight up with the Lord. Not saying they don't make no mistake, but you can see the difference in their walk because they've been delivered. You know what I'm saying? So all that get delivered and being delivered, you need to put something there, Brother Randy, and that's the word of God. It fills the void when you've been delivered. Every time that the desire come up, it might not be a whoremonger. It might be lying. It might be cheating. Fill that void with the word of God, prayer, and ask God to help you. And I guarantee you, the more you do that, the less that you'll forget about the thing. Sometimes you don't know when to stop. You know what I'm talking about? Because you gave it to the Lord. Oh, hit me on spin. So, brothers, sisters, y'all, if anybody want to say something, it's open, bro. I might have talked too much, but it's open, though.
Well, I want to piggyback a little bit off what you was talking about this morning. What Dr. King was talking about, too, Rev. Like I said, I was over in
yes, sir.
In 2 Timothy 4.
And
Paul was really giving Timothy, he was passing a torch.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
He was passing a torch over here. And I just want to read it real quick and get out the way, Rev, because I read
good,
it.
Bro.
And, you know, it came back to me again. I just feel like, you know, it needed to be read. And it reads like this in the New International Version of the Bible. Just catch this. I'm going to give y'all this for free. It says, in the presence of God, in a Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead.
Come
and
on,
in
bro.
The view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you charge. Listen to what it says. He wrote this to Timothy. He's rewriting this to Timothy.
Yes,
he did. His like writing a letter. Reverend Henry be writing a letter to It says, preach the word.
Preach the word.
Be prepared in season and out of season.
Uh-oh.
Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. He said, he told him, for one, preach the word. For two, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage.
Ooh.
With great patience and careful instruction.
Well, you also
like, I'm getting excited now because Paul was he was feeding his spiritual son Timothy. He was feeding. This is what he's saying. For the first time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. Instead, listen to what it read like. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itchy ears want to hear. Oh, you, Rev.
Boy, you own something,
Rev,
boy. You own something, boy. You own something now. You own something, boy. You own something. You own something.
Rev, what you just spoke on, a lot of people might not want to hear it, but it's the undercut, adultery, pure truth of the word of God. You just spoke
it's the on. Word. It's the word.
Listen to what it reads like. I'm almost done, Rev. Listen to what it reads like. It says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, their own desire. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itchy ears want to hear. Listen to me like that.
What, dude, come on, man. Come on with it.
It says, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside myths. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. If you don't believe the Holy Spirit is in the midst on this God's plan this morning. Listen to what it reads like. How about talk to you one time this morning, Reverend? How about one time. Text message, talk to anything this morning.
Not time. You good.
My God.
Good,
listen to what it say.
You good.
But you, you putting something in Timothy now. But you, he said, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, and do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Listen to what he read like. I'm almost out the way. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. Paul telling Timothy something. He say, you almost done, Reverend. He down to the last drop, Reverend. He's running out. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. He said, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering. And the time for my departure is near. Oh, Timothy. Hey, he's telling Timothy, I'm finna go, Timothy. I want you to be prepared Oh, my. He said, I want you to be ready. Mm. I want you, because I'm almost done, Timothy. I'm down to my last drop. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. He said, I'm down to my last drop. Listen to what I say. I have fought the good fight, the race. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. My God. He's telling Timothy here that I'm done. I'm passing the torch, Timothy. I'm down to my last drop. Oh, I have ran this race. Oh, this race that we run every day, Reverend Bryant, Reverend Henry, this race that we run every day called serving God. Oh, this ministry that we do every day called God's plan. Oh, this ministry that we do on the weekends when we at our church homes and we preaching and we speaking the word of God throughout the week to somebody that may be in need. A brother came to me the other day and said, Brother Randy, I just want to talk to you about God. I want to get my life right. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. He said, I want to get my life right. I say, brother, come on to the church house with me this Sunday. Oh, bright and early he was calling me. I'm here, brother. Where you at? I'll be there in a minute. God is so faithful. God.
Well, I like
he
that.
Called me and said, I just want to get myself together. I know you the person I can talk to.
Yeah.
That made me feel good because he knew I was the person he
needed
to talk to get in the right direction.
Yeah.
Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. To see God, he knew he had to come to me to get in the right direction for me to point him to the cross.
Yes. Thank you, Holy
God, my God. My God, my God.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
My. But hold, I got a little bit more, Rev. It's gonna be some things that's gonna be in your path on that road. Oh, it's gonna be some things that's gonna. Oh, Paul telling Timothy, it's gonna be some people that ain't gonna like you, Timothy. It's gonna be some trials and tribulations that you're gonna have to overcome. Nobody said it was gonna be easy. Nobody said it wasn't going to be no problem. Oh,
I like this.
What it is like. I'm going to go down to 14. It says, listen.
Run, son.
I'm going to go down to 14, Reverend. I'm almost done. Listen to what that.
Yes, sir.
Alexander, the metal worker, did me great.
Yes, sir. He,
I like Eloha. Listen to what it reads like, Reverend.
I like that one.
Listen to what it reads like. Alexander. The metal worker did me a great deal of harm. It says the Lord take him for what he has done. Listen to what he told him. Listen to what he tells him. He said, you too shall be on guard against him because he has strongly opposed our message. My God. He said, you too, Rev.
Look at the Holy Spirit. Look at the Holy Spirit.
He has strongly opposed our message. He don't like what we're doing.
Yes.
He don't like what we're saying. They don't like when we pray. They don't like when we do things and bring God to the forefront.
Ooh-wee.
My God. Oh, they don't like when you preach the uncut, adultery truth of the gospel. Real?
Hey, you like that.
Oh, somebody going to have something
Brother
to say about it. Women can do what they want to do, Rev.
Brother Man, I ain't gonna let you get off your mule. Well, you got church folks don't like that. Let me leave that alone. I'm talking about folks probably listening right now got a problem with that.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're speaking the unadulterated word of God. Oh, come on with it, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you on something, boy. You on something,
my God.
You on something. Come on.
Oh, it says, you too should be on guard against him because he has strongly opposed our message. Oh, it says, at my first defense, no one came to support me, Rev. But everyone deserted me. They left me, Paul said. He said they left me. Oh, he said everyone left me. May it not be held against them, though, he said. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost.
Ooh,
may it not be held
him.
Against them. Come
yeah,
on, brother. Come on, brother. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed that all the Gentiles might hear it.
Well, you own something, boss.
Oh, he said, the Lord stood at my side when everybody left me, Rev.
Left
he
me.
Told to me, the Lord stood at my side when everybody left me so the word can be proclaimed. And all of you.
Jesus.
My
Jesus.
God.
You own something, boy. I like that.
Listen
I
to
like
what he
that,
said. Listen, I'm almost at it. He said, and I was delivered out. He said, I was delivered from the lion's mouth. Listen to what he said. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. God, my God. And it all ties to what Dr. King was preaching back in the day. Lean on
yes,
God.
He was.
Trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, not,
yes.
Let's do things the third
yes,
way.
Sir.
Let's leave, real.
My God.
My God.
Brother Man.
Yes.
Brother
Man. Yes.
But man, are we like these people in Ezekiel 33? Are we like them people? Yeah, are we like these people here, man? Tell me, are we like these people, man? And 30, tell you, they can fight with me and you, brother man. But we've been reading scripture, man.
Oh yeah,
hey, brother man, we've been reading scripture, brother man. They can fight me and you, brother man, but they can't fight the word. They fight the word, they got to be stopped. Brother man, I'm talking about church folks, man. You know what I'm talking about? Envy church.
Oh, yeah.
Even the envy ones, man.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because it ain't coming out their mouth. You know what I'm saying? Watch this, Brother Randy.
Oh, yeah.
Ezekiel, man. 33 and 30. Watch what it said, Brother Randy. I know your part is a little different. I want you to come right behind. Watch this, Brother Randy. It said, also, the Son of Man, that the children of people should all talk against thee. By the wall. I'm in the door.
Oh, yeah.
I'm right at the door with this one. Look what he said.
Oh, you're in the book. That's
he said, in the door.
Yeah,
I know. We're going down that road. He said, in the doors of their house, speaking one to another, look what he said, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray for you. That's what he said, right? And here, what is the word that come from who? The Lord. I like this stuff.
The Lord.
And they come unto thee as the people come, and they sit before thee as my people. Here we go, y'all. Don't get that. Let me do it one more time. And they come unto thee as the people come, and they sit before thee as my people. And they, watch this. And they hear the word. That's what he said. Are we there? Are we there? By they will not do them. I need to read that again because I guess mine reads a little different. Let me get my little eyes focused on this one here. He said, and they come unto thee as the people come and they sit, I like this part here, before thee of as my people. That's what he said. And they hear the word, but they will not do them. Oh, God, he said, for with their mouth, I'm talking about church people too, man. He said, with their mouth, they show much love.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. He said, their heart. He said, go after what? Covetousness. I want to be like him. I want to be like her. I want to cover. Man, you got to get in your lane. Get in your lane, man. He said, and lo, oh, help me, Holy Spirit. Thou art unto them. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. I'm putting ghosts on. Hey, man, have you called with me yet, Brother Randy? I know you're riding with me, Brother Randy. Look what he said.
I'm right here with you, brother. Come on.
He said, thou unto them. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. As a very love song. Oh, is that me?
Yeah.
He said, of one. Hey. He said, of one that has a pleasant voice. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. He said that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. Help me, Holy Spirit. For they hear thy word. Don't hear me, Holy Spirit. But they do what? Do them not. I need that again. That was for you, but this is for me right here. And lo, there are unto them a very love song of one that has pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. For they hear the word, but they do them not. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. He said, when this come to pass, lo, it will come. He said, when this come to pass, and he said, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that the prophet has been among them. Help me, Holy Spirit.
Oh, yes.
It has got to that time, Brother Randy. I'm going to let you get on there, Brother Randy. It has got to that time, Brother Randy, that a lot of preachers, a lot of teachers, it sounds like love songs to them. And then when they're preaching the word, and then how much legs come to the word, all they popping and locking and rolling out on the floor and everything, man. And then, but they're not living it, Reverend. They're not living it, Reverend. It sounds so pleasant to them, Reverend. It's like an instrument. You know, you got a violin, you got a guitar, you got an organ, you got a drum.
Yeah.
You know, and it sounds so good. It's coming in unison with the ears. They can hear it, but they're not understanding the follow the word of God. He said, "Lo, it's gonna come. It's gonna come, Brother Rand. I don't know how yours read, but I wanted to tell you. Are you listening?"
Oh, yeah.
Let me y'all know, man. I know it's too much.
Let me read it a little bit right here for you. See how I hit a little bit. It says, as for you, son of man,
mm-hmm.
your mm-hmm. people are talking mm-hmm. together about mm-hmm. you by the wall and at the door mm-hmm. of the houses. Oh, they mm-hmm. he say, I'm going to read that one more time. Mm-hmm. But as for you, son of man, your people are mm-hmm. talking together about you by the mm-hmm. walls and at the doors of the houses,
mm-hmm.
saying to each mm-hmm. other, come and hear the mm-hmm. message that has come from the Lord. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. listen what it says. Come hear the message that has come from the Lord. This is that my people come to you as they usually do, and sit before you to hear your word, but they do not put them into practice.
Mm.
Oh, help me. My
mm.
God.
Mm.
But they do not put them into practice. They do not do what the word is telling them to do, Rev. They do not take the instructions of what the word of God is telling them to do. My God. I'm stuck right there for a minute, Rev, because that just hit
mm-hmm.
me a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, help me, Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That hit me
Come
hard,
on with it then.
That hit me hard. I'm going to read that one more time so I can get clarification
read it,
of what
man.
God is
Read it, man.
Right. Oh,
read it, man.
It says, as for you, son of man, your people are to talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, saying to each other, come out, come and hear the message that the Lord has, that has come from the Lord. It says, my people come to you as they usually do, sit before you to hear your word. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit.
But they do not put
them into practice. My God. Oh, that kind of hurt right there, Red. That hurt right there. That hurt. Help me, Holy Spirit. That hurt right there, Red. It says, each other come out. It says, come and hear the message that comes from the Lord. Come to you as they usually do every day. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit.
Awesome.
Every
you're
Sunday,
awesome,
every Tuesday Bible study, every Wednesday Bible
mm-hmm.
study, every sermon, every Sunday, every time you get in that pulpit, Red. Every time you speak the word, somebody. Every time you pray for somebody. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. Every time
you're awesome,
you put the word in the atmosphere. He says, my people come to you. Oh, as they you doing something and sit before mm-hmm. you and hear your word, but they do mm-hmm. not put them into practice.
Mm-hmm.
They do not use it. They do not use it. They do not use it, Rev. They do not take it in. And write it on. I always say I write the word of God on the table of my heart. Mm-hmm. I make my ears sensitive to his voice. I make my ears sensitive to the word of God. Every time I hear the word of God, it just attracts me no matter where it's coming from, Rev. I can hear him over here preaching the word. It brings me in. I want to listen a little bit. I want to hear the word of God is saying, not what the person is saying, but if the word is there. My God.
Ooh, you own something. You own something now, bro.
My God.
You really are.
It says their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy and up for unjust gain. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. Oh, you hear it on late at night, you turn on the TV, television, Rev, in the middle of the night, you hear these old preachers saying, if you sow $1,000, you get $100. You do this, you get that. The anoint oil and all this, you put this on, you go get checked in the mail and all this. All this unnecessary junk, Reverend Henry. All this junk you hear in the middle of the night on live TV and they doing this and they doing that and they healing, you know, they throw the oil on the head and the guy that's been in the wheelchair forever get up and walk and all this junk we see on TV. It says their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy and for unjust gain. Indeed, to them you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well. For they hear your words, but do not put them into practice. My God. When all this comes true, and it surely will, then they will know that a prophet has been amongst them.
You own some now. But you own some.
My. Hey, it's some meat on that bone right there, Rev.
Yes, sir. You own something now. I'm not scared to tell you. You own something now. You own it. You own it.
My God.
Yes, sir.
My God.
Hey, you know what, brother? I think it's been enough word preached and taught. That just me now. Can save 100 million souls. I just need that, man. But if it didn't reach no one today, I want to tell you, if it just reached one person, I believe every angel in heaven is rejoicing.
Lord,
we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the word.
All
that word was just confirmation. Brother Randy was ready to come on and do something, look like. You know what I'm talking about? Hey. And he carries on to his mule long enough to bring it out, you know. I thank God for the Holy Spirit, brother, how he used you, man. But thank you for how God is doing something, you know, that when we can get out and do what we do, man, you know, trying to come and uplift up and encourage, you know, talking about, it's not in the 50s and the 60s when Martin Luther King did say what he said, but that message is relevant right now, you know. Sometimes you got to stand on some things, mother, brothers and sisters. You know what I'm talking about? You can't be wavy with that thing, man. You got to stand with it, man. And stand with that game. It's not always popular, Brother Randy. It's not always popular. When the last time you went on the knees and prayed for someone to get them through some time? Like Brother Randy said, somebody came to him. Tell me a little bit what you seen in the light. I want to serve that God you serve, you know. You know, that's how God does it. He make room for your gift. And I learned something, Brother Randy, that what Paul was telling to Timothy was told to me a long time ago by the charge. Most preachers, when they get ordained or coming into the Christ of God, they speak the words like that over you. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You got a charge to keep. You know what I'm talking about? And that's what they do to you when you let you know you read your rights. You know, I'm talking about what you got to do when you hold up this ministry. You know, you got to stand in season, and that's a season with this thing. You know, you didn't can't put it down because you want to hang with the homies. You know, you got to keep that thing up there. You got to keep it up there.
You
are a peculiar person now. You're in the priesthood now. Yeah, you got to stand on God's principle now. Someone said, well, we can't have no, said you can't have no fun. But fun don't need to take over God. If it's more than God, you need to bag up and consider that fun. Is this really fun?
I'm
not that long. But let me tell you something, Brother Rand. Let me tell you something, Brother Rand. God has spoke today. I really believe he has. I really do, man. I really believe, because we going somewhere. I didn't know you were going that route. We just opened up a kind of worm, and then didn't know how Dr. King was going to come. He came with a strong message, and we just came on behind it. You know what I'm talking about? And what it does, sharpens iron. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Rand?
There you go.
From Proverbs 26, it sharpens itself. You know what I'm talking about? And I've been a student of the word for a while. The everything don't take a rebuttal. I'm going to kiss that later on. It doesn't take a rebuttal, you know what I'm talking about? And we don't hold nobody to prison or nothing, but I think everything should be done in decent and order. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. I really do. I really believe that song says, this may be your last time. Yeah, if you don't know the Lord and the pardon of your sin, it could be your last time to get on board. If you fell out in fellowship with him, you can get renewed that thing today. You can come in, and I really believe God will accept your heart if you're sincere about your heart. I believe God will come in and help you wherever you're weak in, my brother. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And I thank God, man, always for what he does in store for us when we come over here, man. You know, we don't come here often, you know what I'm talking about? And I'm glad how he does it. I really love how he does it because when we come in, you know what I'm talking about, it don't have to be always, it's going to go like this. You know what I'm talking about? It's going to go like this. No, because the Holy Spirit said it might need to go like this. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Holy Spirit runs God's plans, all right or wrong. Is that right or wrong? Holy Spirit runs God's plans. You know, we don't like to put nobody on no spot because we know God said, this while ago, you have to be ready in season and out of season. So we have a backup plan. We have a ram in the bush. You might hear a sermon.
Yeah.
That don't mean we're not on. That don't mean we don't have a nothing to say, but sometimes we need to change the monopoly a little bit. How about that? Let somebody else break up the word. Because Dr. King could preach to me every day when he just said it wasn't all about what? It wasn't all about marching and that. But he just said, he just told him, get on board. He said, yeah, you're going to go somewhere. Quit buying down. Quit buying down. Yes, sir. That's a preach. That preach every day, all day. You understand me? So we thank y'all. We thank everybody. We've been on here a couple of minutes, you know what I'm talking about. And saying this, we still got the COVID out there. We still, whatever they want to call it now, you know, it's still getting, the sickness is still out there. People are still out there. It's going to and fro, and it's moving, you know what I'm talking about? And we want to keep that lifted up, Brother Randy. We want to keep that lifted up, sisters and brothers. We want to kind of keep that lifted up and for God to come in and bless, you know what I'm talking about? And I love that, Reverend Henry. I love that, my brothers and sisters, because we're not here to keep always saying that we won't forget our brothers and our sisters. We are our brothers' keepers. We are. And when I say brothers, I mean sisters and brothers. We're here and standing in intercessory prayer, too. We really are. That's what we come to do. You know, we thank God for that, Brother Rand. Brother Rand, I want to say this here, Rev. Y'all still there?
I'm here.
Okay, all right. Hey, Brother Randy.
Yeah.
Amen. Can you pray for us, man? Can you pray for us?
I'll
pray for the sick and the shut in. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Pray for the sick and the shut in. You know, and pray for the ministry. Pray for any division. anything that's in people's mind right now is not of God. Put feelings out the way. You know what I'm talking about? And let God have his way. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And, maybe it was something said here. What didn't went Susan to someone's ear? You know what I'm talking about? Because we brought up a few subjects that are not very popular to some people. But if you believe in the Bible, all we did is read scripture. We just read and then took the interpretation when we got out that scripture. If it wasn't what you thought, what we was reading, what we was interpreting, hit the one button and we're not in no debate. But just tell us what you believe, what it really said. We believe in the Bible. We believe in the Bible. That's why I asked Brother Randy, read out your version, man. See how it sounds. It might change to yours. You know what I'm talking about? You know. And I believe it read the same to me from my heart.
Oh, yes. My. I truly believe the word of God went forth this morning, prayer.
Yes, sir.
I'm just going to pray and we can get up out of here.
Yes, sir.
Wanna
yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. You good?
For the gathering of the saints this morning, once again, we nobody said it was going to be easy, real. You know.
Yes, sir. Whoever told you that?
Not easy. So I just want to lift the ministry up in prayer and ask God to continue to just show his face and show us favor. As we continue to do his will, not our will, but let his will be done. As you just said, Rev, we speaking straight out the Bible, straight from his word. And we not adding nothing to it, we not taking nothing away from it. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you once again for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for having your way on God's plan. Lord, we ask that you continue to just give us and feed us the Holy Spirit, Lord. We ask that you continue to touch each and every one of us, Father God, and help us to run this race with full energy and full endurance, Lord, to continue to serve you and worship you on a day-to-day basis, oh God. So I'm praying right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you continue to just be in the midst. I'm praying for the sick and set in, oh God. I'm praying for our nation right now, oh God, as we got this COVID thing going on. But we know you able and we know you will. So I ask every sick in bed this morning, oh God. I ask that you touch every lung that's mutated right now in the name of Jesus. I'm asking that you touch every body that's contaminated right now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Every man watching, oh God. Every child, oh God. Every baby, oh God, just touch them and heal them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I'm praying right now for God's plan, oh God. I'm praying that you continue to just give us the increase, oh
yes,
God. Continue
Lord.
To help us to give us the desire to want to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Because you said if we seek ye first the kingdom of God, everything else will follow. I'm praying, Father God,
yes,
for the
Lord.
Ministry. I'm praying for the ministers, oh God. Reverend Henry,
yes,
Reverend
Lord.
Brock, oh God. Brother
yes,
Nutty,
Lord.
Oh
yes,
God,
Lord.
Brother D, oh God, every man and woman that
yes,
comes
Lord.
Out on a day-to-day basis, oh God, to serve you and worship you, I ask that you bless them and you touch them this morning, oh God. Bless their families, bless their households, Lord. Plead the blood of Jesus over their
yes,
doorsteps right now, in the name of Jesus. Touch their marriages, oh God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Help them to grow and prosper in your word on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Be giants in Christ, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We just thank you, Lord, for the gathering. We thank you, Father God, for the platform, Father God, to speak your word boldly. We ask that you move in a mighty way. Show up and show out for your people, oh God. Not our will, but let your will
yes.
be done. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank God.
Amen. Praise
God.
What you saying, son?
Oh, I was just saying, amen. Yeah.
Okay.
This was, I was just witnessing.
Okay.
near.